Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Level up. Lifestyle. Wellness. Damn good time. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Hit it.
To the Holistic Life Podcast, presented by Say What Radio.
All right, welcome. Booty boop boop boobity boop boop. I know, I'm like, whenever we have guests on our show on the Holistic Life Podcast, we also record it and put it on YouTube. And it's interesting because like every time we come on YouTube, I want to just have like a regular intro. And last time we did like a YouTube thing, he was like, what are you doing? You're supposed to have a funky intro. That's like your thing.
We've recorded, you know, and people get used to the weird intro. So you can't like, there's certain spaces for pattern interrupt.
And when would those spaces be?
Not when you have a podcast that people are supposed to a certain intro.
Fine. Okay. Sounds good. Well, I'm Jenny.
I'm Jenny.
Like, y'all, if you're listening on the podcast, you need to come see this on YouTube if you ever want to see the way this goes down in our intros. All right. You're listening to the Holistic Life Podcast. This is the place where we bring together entrepreneurs, executives, and CEOs to shed and release and let go of outdated beliefs and thinking and step into new habits so that we can all live a life filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. And today we have a special guest on, and we're so excited. And we're going to chat a little bit about the relationship that we have lost with our bodies and a lot of the fears that come up around our feelings that leave us disconnected and doubting as why we aren't living as holy as we could when we all we have to do is connect to the mind and the body and not just the mind. And so this is a perfect topic because we're in a new year and we have an amazing woman here. Her name is Tehila Luttig, and she's a mom of two, wife, and licensed couple counselor living in South Africa. And she specializes in helping parents either as a couple or individually in marital distress. She's worked with families for 20 plus years. In the last 10 years, she's been in private practice, and she's passionate about helping families become emotionally safe sanctuaries. She works holistically to help people deconstruct their past and reconnect with their body's wisdom to recalibrate to their authentic selves and power. Her work focuses on the couple's relationship, but also on the relationship we have with ourselves. So she loves to help people discover the power of living from the mind, body, and spirit, and not just the mind alone. And of course, the clarity that's in the pleasure of that union. So without further ado, definitely want to welcome you to the podcast. Share a little bit more, like give us a little bit more fun juiciness about who you are and a little bit about your story.
And before we get started, because I felt that was really formal and buttoned up, I want you to cut loose, like let your hair down and like, because I'm like, I was getting hot in here. So you're going to see the two personalities here too, as well. So I definitely like to have fun, shoot from the hip, and definitely, yes, tell us more. I want you to like, yes, that was the resume version. I want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Perfect. I was actually, had like a short sleeve shirt on because it's summer here, and my daughter, when I was leaving the house, are you going to go on YouTube like that? So I quickly put another shirt on.
Oh, that's so funny. And here I am in a tank top.
So she's going to definitely watch this when it's launched. We're also in South Africa, we have this crazy thing called load shedding, and it's systematic blackouts. So they put our power off for certain times during the day, and it's actually just gone off. So I don't know if you know, just getting a bit darker. Luckily, got my ring light, but yeah, there's some crazy things we have to live with here in South Africa, and blackouts throughout the day is one of them. But otherwise, yes, it's a very fantastic place. I don't know if you guys have been here, but I feel very honored to call it my home. And I think because of being a counselor and the approach that we learned, you know, my degrees, my honors degrees, master's degrees, everything was about the mind. I could tell you every part of the brain and what it corresponded to, you know, behaviorally. And in the years of practice, I noticed what a long road it took to get us to heal, you know, because when we stay in the prefrontal cortex and your, you know, your functioning brain in the front here, It's about problem solving. So we're stuck in problem solving mode. And so it's this like hamster wheel of trying to solve our problems in the problem solving brain and staying in that area to solve problems that are further behind. And so I've been really exploring and going a bit deeper and understanding that for me, it's almost like we all live in our minds, and it's like having a cell phone, a smartphone, and we only use it to take photographs. Like, we can take awesome photos, but it's not using the full functionality, and our bodies are the same. And when we start understanding how emotions are in our bodies and how much wisdom our bodies have, then we start really feeling alive and feeling like we can trust ourselves and feeling connected to ourselves, because we're using the full function of our body. We're completely body compatible. We're mind compatible. Mm. And so that's where my joy comes in and sharing with my clients how to tap into that wisdom within.
Mm. I feel I'm totally going to geek out on this episode. So many questions already. I'm currently recertifying for my personal trainer certification because I love what we do, but it's definitely, I understand as a society here, especially United States, you know, people are so into the way I look, you know, not necessarily the emotional part, the feel part. And I feel like getting back into training for me, although it's not particularly something I love doing, I feel that's kind of a gateway to help in other areas. It's like, okay, let me get you this win here. Then we can go deeper about the emotional thing, the mental thing. What I wanted to ask though, since with all your degrees and stuff, and this is how I'm tying these two together, like I've noticed for me, because I've been certified like over 10 years ago, I just let it expire or whatever. But like the education is one thing. It's like the book says this. So I'm assuming, so forgive me, like when you actually started practicing, was there a click for you that's like, okay, the book says this, but the educational information and the application of the information was kind of totally different? You like, okay, the book says this, but I need to approach it this way. Has that ever happened to you?
It's definitely happened. I found that personally speaking, if a lot of people would come to me and say, okay, what is it worth it pursuing, you know, psychology degrees and everything? And I honestly found that I got more out of courses like than I did from my degrees. I could then jump around to, and I would do all the different modalities. I've done Gottman's level 1 and 2. I mean, they're the pioneers of couples therapy and I love their framework. But then there are parts that I think like EFT, the emotional focus therapy, there's components of that. And then there's so many different components of, so I can combine. Whereas when you go to university, a lot of times it's their framework, whether it's Gestalt or psychodynamic, and you fit in with that. And it's, every person I meet is so unique and you can't have this one size fits all. So I would say the theory gave me confidence, but it didn't give me practical know-how.
That's the struggle I'm having now, because when I got certified and all the experiences till now, and then having to go back through this information, and it's like, people don't work like this. People, what you're telling me, and it's everybody out there who's thinking about personal training, it's weird because like you have to learn joint names and muscle names like you're going to get a doctor's degree, right? And it's like, well, just in case your client ever asks, oh, what muscle group are we? I'm like, that doesn't fucking happen. That's not real. No one says, what is the primary muscle movers and antagonists we're going to be working today, Jay? Like, none of that. None, like, why? Why is it here? But it's like going back to this information and applying the information, it's like not necessarily that I'm conflicted, because the information is great. The information is wonderful when you know when to use it. But like you said, everybody's different. So you can't approach a situation, may it be a couple, a family, and say, okay, this is how you lose weight, right? Because people know that. Because the book says this, but there's so much going on. It could be work. It could be family. It could be a stressful job. It could be like all this other things, and saying like, okay, before we get here, let me know about your day. Like, what's going on? What's the day to day? Oh, I noticed you said you're find yourself emotionally eating when stress hits, blah, blah, blah. Let's tackle that, right? But the book says, no, you should, like, it's interesting. So I always, because I love education. I feel education is super important, but I feel, and I'm biased to the United States educational system. I feel our educational system is lacking, you know, and I definitely love your approach by not necessarily because, okay, I'm making sure I'm, you know, I don't want people to be like, Jay said, don't go to school. No, that's not what Jay said. It's very important, but like you said, hopping around the courses and figuring out learning and the different things, because this is like so big in general. I love therapy. Therapy is super important. I grew up in a family where therapy was kind of taboo. You know, you don't go to therapy because if you go to therapy, something's wrong with you. And it's like, no, that's so not the case. So not the case. And I want to normalize a whole lot of things. I'm going to shut up and let you talk because I'm like,
you woke up and
yeah, like, I'm you know, we're going to have to talk offside because, okay.
I'm like, what? I'm like about to tap him. Like,
and she's like, no,
you're going.
But I absolutely love it. I mean, the way that you're going to, okay, so what's going on at home? You find that you're binge eating. I would go so far as asking them, what are you binge eating on? And they say chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, probably a good chance your granny used to make those and those were a safe space for you. So, you know, going into beyond that you're binge eating and I'm doing something wrong to what is your body craving?
Right.
It's those memories of just feeling safe and at ease and peaceful and, you know, no pressure. It's like, okay, well, I can tap into that without the biscuit. So we've completely disconnected the body and the mind. We've been taught, and I've strongly believe it's because of consumerism. Mm-hmm. I mean, feeling sick isn't good for the economy. So have a aspirin, you know, have a paracetamol, get over it and get back to work. And we live here. And so we disconnect from our bodies. Most of the time, if we talk about feelings, my clients will say, it's like, this is the furthest down it goes. Mm-hmm. But when you're a kid and you're nervous to go to school, you say, my tummy aches. It's much further down. But we've shut it down. We've like tried to, we mostly get headaches and migraines and maybe a little bit of, you know, anxiety, but it's up here. Mm-hmm. And our body has this wealth. The word educate, the original Latin word for educate means to draw out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taught it's to put in. We're stupid and put stuff in. Our body is so intelligent and we mm-hmm. can draw out from it and we can tap into it and we can trust it so much more when we're working with both modalities instead of just the mind or just the body. I find that there's a lot of personal trainers, for example, that also dissociate from their bodies because it's all about the physique and how strong they can be and not listening to what their body is saying in that process. It's more about approving something than a celebration of something. So it's that balance of my mind isn't, you know, pathetic, but my body isn't either. They're actually so good together. And how do we bring that balance in?
I'm going to let you talk, I promise.
Hold your question too.
Hold your question. Hold on.
He is fired up today. He is so fired up.
I love how you talked about, you know, that concept within itself. Like, it's not just our bodies, it's our minds. And a lot of the work, especially with clients that I'm leaning towards is like identity shifting and kind of tapping into that, the mental thing. Cause a lot of us go into whatever it is, you know, if it's work, if it's the gym, if it's wherever, it's like, well, I have to do this because, and instead of asking yourself like, okay, I'm taking it back to the gym. One of my things is having a conversation with yourself. Like, yes, literally, I'm going to be 43, you know, in May, and never had a broken bone, never had to go to the hospital for anything major, right? And it's like, okay, this body has protected me for 43 years. Have I ever really stopped and asked it, what can I do to help it keep doing its job? And people are like, what? And I'm like, this is where you live. This is like your house. A hurricane doesn't come through and, you know, you don't repair it. So why would we do that here? You know, and it's like asking yourself and like sitting down, having a conversation, what do you need from me? Like, I've been pushing you so hard and not stopping and asking, how can I help you help me? Because you've been doing a great job, but how can I help you do it even better? And a lot of that
I think we've become so afraid of our bodies, because personally, I've seen it so many times with little kids. If they, now it's getting better, but I know when I was a kid, and I've even seen it with my own kids, if they start crying, granny or grandpa will come running like, here's a sweet, or look at that butterfly, or like, it's an instant distraction from the emotion. And when we do that, because the emotions are in our body, that's why kids kick and scream and fail. They have this whole full body reaction because it's where it is. But we get taught, because we start crying and we see our parents freak out like, shit, that's got to be bad. You know, they can't handle it. That's got to be bad. You know, and we get told, you know, toughen up, or don't be such a baby, or get over it. So we never get taught how to have our emotions. We don't get taught that they pass. We don't realize that if we feel them, they have an end. We just, ooh, that don't go there. And that's a big part of why we also stay out of our bodies. Like, why would I go in there and ask something? Because there's Pandora's box in there, and it's got a lot of stuff to tell me about how bad I am and how disappointed and all that stuff. So just been right into there, and let's keep pretending everything's fine, and I'll do my best to show you and prove my worth through my action, but let's not go to those feelings.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so curious, since you have a global practice where you're working with people from all around the globe, all different cultures, do you feel that we all have across the globe the same challenge of being more in our mind and not in our body? Or do you feel like certain cultures are more in their body and maybe not in their mind? Or like, what is that like for you?
The cultures I've worked with, I think maybe they come to me because they're in their mind, and the ones that are maybe have that balance don't need me, so I don't see them. So I haven't really found the more in the body than the mind. Other than gender wise, I find a lot of times men are more, you know, logic based, and women are the feelings based, but it's still feelings up here. How I think about my feelings, like, oh, I shouldn't feel that, or I shouldn't feel that, or I shouldn't say this, or that's over the top, or that's too dramatic. It's the thinking about the feelings and not the feeling of the feelings. So they're both still in the mind and not in the body. And the fact that you talk to your body, I love, because it's one of the first things I teach my clients, and they all think it's completely bizarre. But it is just so powerful when you get to talk to your stuck emotions, because emotions are just messages. They're coming to tell you there's something wrong or there's something right. I want more of that, or that sucked. And if we don't listen to it, it just pulls up.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have those conversations, there's a lot of release and a lot of movement in your body.
So one thing I'm curious is, you know, we're on the coaching side of things, you're on the therapy side of things, but there are a lot of overlaps between coaching and therapy. And of course, we don't want to do therapy, but you probably lean more into coaching, you know, because that probably makes sense. So it's like, where do you feel like, you know, if someone wants help with this, because we both can help people, where do you feel like it crosses that line and needs to be more therapy based, and it's better to go to a therapist versus working with a coach?
Former. I think that is for me a very, like, there's a lot of trauma that I've got to speak very carefully here, because I think the coaching world has opened my eyes to different modalities of approaching trauma, where the therapy world's been a lot more closed off. You've got cognitive behavioral therapy, you've got this way and that way, where NLP and EFT, those things, TRE, they're more coaching, but they actually can be really effective too. So I've loved leaning into understanding that there's so much more, and using somatic therapy more, using somatic work more. I think for me, the biggest threat I see is people that have no background in trauma, and because I survived abuse or whatever, I can help you with it too. No. My parents drove us without seatbelts back in the day. It doesn't mean it was a good idea. It's, you know, I'm lucky to be alive. It doesn't mean I'm skilled at being a backseat driver. It's just, so yeah, that's trauma for me is a very big, and then obviously need addiction, abuse, things like that, mental illness.
Yeah.
But even that I refer out, because I feel that you need in-person, you know, that physical containment. I don't feel comfortable doing that online.
Okay, so let's thank you for sharing that. Because I think, you know, even for us, like, we're not wanting to go down those paths, but we do understand that some of that's going to come up because like you said, with the emotions coming up, they're coming up to be released. So let's talk a little bit about somatic therapy, because I just recently learned what that meant. I'd love to understand what that is. And I'm sure, you know, the listeners and the watchers are like, wait, what'd she say? What is that?
I haven't formally studied somatic therapy. I did some somatic courses, and then I created a body talk technique that I felt was really effective. But now I'm learning more that the modules of it are being used in different elements. It's somebody called it the other day, conversation hypnosis. But it's not, for me, it's about basically, like, without going too high tech, when we are in a traumatic event, our brain goes super like record mode. Because either A, if we die, it doesn't matter that it used up all that memory space. And if we don't die, it wants to know, how did you get out of that? Like, how did we survive that? So it instantly, if there's high emotions, instantly records. Let's say I'm driving home from work. I've driven home 100 times. I often get home and I think, did I stop at that traffic light? Like, how did I get here? I was thinking about like what I'm getting for the kids for dinner and all sorts of things. But if I had hit the tree on the way home 5 years ago, every single time I'd get near that tree, my whole body would start tensing up, getting into that freeze response that I went into the day I hit the tree, because my brain is saying, that's how you survived. So when you get to that tree, make sure you're really tensed and focused, and it remembers that response. So with BWRT, which isn't somatic work, but it's a way of rewiring your brain, we use different images and we have a replacement response. But through that, I realized that our subconscious identity work, and that's why visualizations and vision boards and all of those things work so well. It works with visions, with visuals. So when you remember a traumatic event, you remember, I was sitting over there, they were standing over there, they were wearing that. It's like this visual experience, not a logical experience. And so using those visions and visuals and memories of a visual nature, we can speak to our subconscious. So what I would do is I would literally ask my clients to imagine where the sensation is. They'd say, I've got a sore left toe. And then they'll say, okay, if you could imagine that was something, what would it be? And then they would come up with some, I've had the most weirdest things that come up, but it's your subconscious is making it up. Mm-hmm. So your subconscious is saying the message. So it's not, you know, you feel like you're making it up, but your body's making it up. And through that, we get to understand what's a lot of trapped emotions, and we work through those trapped emotions through conversations with sensations in our body. And it's really bizarre. And I've worked with doctors and engineers and, like, you know, very logical people. And that when we start, they're like, there's no way this is going to work, but let's try it. And at the end of the session, they sit there like Cheshire cats, like just this, what the fuck just happened? So it's really a beautiful process, because our body holds on to those feelings. The body's the feelings, the mind's the thoughts. So it holds on to those feelings. And when we combine them, we get to release them much quicker. And because we've created a visual representation, you can remember it. So let's say the person imagined a big cloud that wrapped around when she was really scared as a little girl. Whenever she's scared now, she imagines that cloud coming, and instantly that feeling comes and she can go and do her presentation or, you know, whatever it is. So it creates these visual associations that the body also remembers and then can use for skills later on.
Okay. So if I'm hearing, like, what I'm hearing you say is, this is going through my filters, right? Is that the way that emotions are stored in the body can benefit us and can keep, hold us back. And that's, and what I'm hearing is releasing the emotions is important, because otherwise you're storing energy, and stored energy can cause disease. This is what I added. You didn't say that, but stored energy can cause disease. But then also I'm hearing, cause I'm hearing like two sides of the coin here. I'm hearing releasing emotions from a trauma response, or maybe things that were stored as a kid, but I'm also hearing like, okay, this is what I want to manifest, or this is what I want to step into, or this is the identity I want to embody. So let me, am I hearing this and tracking?
But I do, like, so to clarify, like the manifestation part, so much of what we think we're capable on is based on the trauma we experienced, on the childhood we experienced. So being small, being not good enough, not being as smart as your brother, or whatever those things came up as, that sits with you. So you can push with your head as hard as you want, but if those feelings are unresolved, you sabotage yourself. And a lot of times people are telling you to, you know, bugger the inner critic, screw it, it's a bitch. Like, I like really get upset about that, because every single sabotage is trying to protect you. That disappointment was so big, and I don't know if you can handle it, like, because if it's going to hurt you. So I'd rather, if I disappoint you, you know me, you'll forgive me. But if you disappoint your parents, that's a heavy one. Right. So let's keep you small.
Right.
So all these feelings that are trapped in your body or that get trapped from things that are happening now, they're always trying to protect you.
Because the baseline is self-preservation, correct?
Self-preservation and seek pleasure, avoid pain.
Right.
Do you?
And then we've gone and added to it that we've gone and demonized pleasure. We've made it very much that pleasure is a sin because it's been a behavior modification. And so we've again cut off from our bodies. And if you look at two of the biggest issues that I see often is, you know, eating disorders and sex addiction, porn addiction. Those are two where you connect the body and the mind, sex and food, you know, your senses, your all your senses are involved with eating and cooking and things and with sex, you know, so you've got, those are two places where we're craving
right. That
connection again, that reconnecting with, this is our body. It's not meant to be foreign to us. It's not meant to be cut off from us. And it's, I talk about trauma because a lot of times the trauma is built up, but once we've worked through the trauma, you can have this beautiful relationship. You can have it before the time already, because I've realized, like, the only real serious unconditional love I've seen any of us really get other than spiritual is our bodies. You know, you can drink, you can do drugs, you can really, you know, criticize it every time you look in the mirror, you can talk shit to it all the time, and it keeps you, get sick, it's gonna fight those germs, you know, it's gonna try and protect you. Like, and pain is often and pain is trying to get your attention and saying, you're ignoring me and I need your help. I can't do this on my own.
Wow.
Do you feel that it's possible to remove and release all traumas?
I think it is. I do think that as we grow, new things come up. So it's in like constant evolution or in, like, keeps growing. But I don't think, let's put it this way. I did therapy for many years and I didn't really even have a traumatic childhood. It was, you know, loving parents. It's just typical school and that sort of thing. Had my therapy. And since I did the somatic work and I actually helped ask my therapist, like taught them how to ask me because I was struggling to ask myself the questions, like get me through this process. So many different things came up. So that's why I'm not saying yes, you can, because I've like recently been discovering a whole bunch of things I didn't know about myself and my body and my past. But I do fully believe that the only reason it holds on is because it thinks it's got something important to say. So once we've heard it, there's no need for it to keep holding on to it. So a lot of the time we hold on to it because we're processing it through the problem-solving brain, which keeps finding new problems. And we're still ignoring our emotional receptors, our emotional capacity. So that's where the disconnect, and we have to continue. I think having a coach or a therapist lifelong is great, not for every week, but for having somebody to reflect back and like check in and bring us back out of our heads, but not for years long of therapy. Most of my clients, I would say 95% don't ever do more than 10 sessions with me.
Okay.
Like it's it doesn't need to be, and it's not like they'll have another session in a year or two with, but it's not a, that's what we do intensively, and then I feel that we've covered so much that they have got the stability and the grounding and the trust in themselves enough to the other things, they go with it. You know, your body holds onto a bunch of things, but they relate it, and so it goes with those things.
I love that. That's one of the things I love doing, because I don't want to have a person forever, you know, because I feel one of the things I've been called to do is basically to show people, you know, I'm not here to hold your hand. I'm here to show you and equip you with the tools you need to live life on your terms. And like when you're ready to go to the next level, you can come back. But I don't want you every time something comes up, what do I do now? What do I do now? No, no. I've given you the tools to solve this on your own. Now, when you can't solve it on your own, or you're ready to level up again, yes, then come back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like we don't now, you know, if you want to stay for other things, yes, that's cool. But you know, mm-hmm. you don't need me to sit mm-hmm. here and coach you forever.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Otherwise it creates codependency yes. instead of actually healing.
Right. Are there one or two tools that anybody could use to be able to help release these emotions and be more in their body?
There's many things that you can do. I find though, just like, I mean, we can do it right now. Just stopping, taking a nice deep breath, breathing in again. So you've just inhaled again, holding it for a second, and then exhaling. And one of the most beautiful things about exhaling is realizing you don't have to force it out. It's used oxygen. Your body wants to get rid of it. It just automatically goes. So you take a nice deep breath in. Another one. Hold. Exhale. And then you just check in with your body. Like I close my eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But just scan your body head to toe. You might notice I'm really uncomfortable the way I'm sitting, or my foot's burning, or my shoulder's really tight. And instead of getting like worried about it, getting curious with it, just imagining if you're a scientist, where does that sensation start? Where does it end? Is it deep? Is it on the surface? Is it moving? Is it still? Is it heavy? Is it light? Just getting curious with the sensation, breathing into it, allowing your air to go into that to create space for it. If you want to go next level, you don't have to do this. And if you've had a lot of trauma, I don't recommend doing it on your own, but you can always ask it, like, what do you need from me? What do you want me to know? And then if you do get something, sometimes it's a picture that pops in. Sometimes you might find a message like sleep, whatever. You thank it for it and you can shift your body and bring your awareness back into the room and open your eyes. But it's just a very quick way of getting out of your head and into your body.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, I definitely, anytime I do anything like that, I feel more peaceful. I feel more present.
Yeah. I've also got like, you know, body scrub that you use in the shower, but I use that at my basin for hand wash. Cause I just find, you know, you can just so mindlessly do things. So having little breaks like that, like every time you do that and you feel that sensation, it's about bringing that awareness to your body. In the beginning, when I was starting this, I put little yellow post-it notes. I don't know if you also call it post-it notes, but there's yellow notes all over the house. So every time I'd see it, I'd be like, and I'd be like so tough because I've got the kids running around, we're late for school, I've got to get to work. And I'm like, wait, scanning my body, what do you need? Hurry up, tell me, just what do you need? Okay, wait. But I would practice taking that time just quickly because there's always enough time. Mm-hmm. We don't think so, but there is.
We actually had a podcast about that a few episodes ago about, you know, choice. Like everything is a choice, you know, because a lot of people want to say, oh, I'm too busy. And like mm-hmm. my point of view on that was like, no, you're choosing to be busy
yeah.
for a reason. Because there's always time. If you want to make the time, because we always yeah. make time for the things that are important and valuable for us.
Yeah.
Facebook. Always time.
I'll never forget the one post I saw this lady was writing. I'm so late for work. I'm going to be in such big trouble. And I'm like, and you're posting?
You posted.
You've got time to post. But
would you just say that, like, I'm late? It always, you know, the people are like, oh, I'm late, I'm rushing. Like, you're already late. Like, rushing isn't going to get you there any faster. Exactly. You're still going to be late.
Mm-mm. I think that's exactly. an example of being more in the mind than in the body, what you're talking about. So, all right. So another thing that I learned, and I want to see kind of how this ties into our topic today, is I had learned that if you need to cry or if you're angry or whatever the emotion is, just to let it come out, because if you suppress it, then it stays in your body versus just letting it come out. But also, that's something I've been practicing. So I'm like in a business conversation and I like need to cry and I'm like, oh God, no, please, no, please, no. So just curious, like as you're practicing these things, or what do you think about, you know, the whole idea that if there's an emotion there, you have to let it out so that way it can just move on and you're not harboring it.
I think that, you know, ideally, if we were all emotionally intelligent and equipped to handle it, go for it. But our brain and our body is really clever and it's been coping with suppressed emotions for the last, you know, 40 years or whatever, it's not, few hours isn't going to put it off. So if in that moment you need to compartmentalize, like I've literally pictured a little room next to my heart that's got like a little waiting bench, and that's my emotions. And then when I've got a moment, I'm going to go and sit in that room and I'm going to sit with those emotions and I'm going to feel them. And then they can move on. And sometimes, you know, having a good tantrum if you're angry is beautiful. Kids, they've got it waxed. You use your full body, you let it out, and your body feels better because it's that energy, that latent energy that needs to get out. But obviously, if you're in a work meeting and you do that, it's not going to look good, and it's not going to do your body good either.
I kind of disagree. I feel because, okay, two things. Like, I'm really curious about where a disconnect was, because like you said, when kids have a tent, they don't want to wait. They don't wait. Like, you're in the store, you're like, no, the kid's like, okay, I'm gonna throw a fit when I get home. Like, no, I'm throwing a fucking fit right now in front of everybody. So I feel if we're authentically ourselves and you have courage, I'm not saying to do this, people, if you have the courage, if you're confident enough in a business situation, letting people know, hey, I'm an emotional person because I'm passionate about this. Not to say this makes me weak or whatever. So when something happens, because I feel that's taught too, and you said it earlier, like especially guys, don't cry, be a manly man. These emotions that we're taught, these things that are conditioned and programmed from an early age that we grow into, and like when the body says, oh, you're about to tear up, no, I gotta hold it back. You know, it feels causing more trauma. But like, if you're able to say, if you're an emotional individual, hey, this is who I am. This may be what is happening. There's nothing wrong. This is just what's happening. And I think too, it lets the other people know, for one, okay, it's okay. And it's starting to normalize something that society has pushed down for so long. Mm-hmm. I feel there's freedom in that.
Two parts to it. The one part, what I would say is, you know, children, the reptilian brain is the first part to develop. So it's called our primitive brain, and they've got like loads of it. Their prefrontal cortex, our empathy, our rationalizing, problem solving, all of that is the last to develop. And our brain's only fully developed by the age of 24. So when they're two, they don't have the willpower or the ability to rein it in. Whereas now as adults, we'll have a better control of those emotions. As for authenticity, like I said, I think if everybody was more emotionally intelligent, and it would be safer, but still, I wouldn't say don't trust the feeling, but I don't think everybody can be trusted with your feelings.
I agree. And I'm definitely cut from a different cloth. Like, what you see is what you get with me. And I understand and know, like, everybody isn't there. Huh?
And I think it's if it's hurtful to others, whether, you know, if you're going to throw a tantrum in the shop, whether it's, you know, maybe embarrassing your partner, or it's very different to, this is making me really emotional, I'm really passionate about this, I need a few minutes to not collect myself so I look better to you, but so that I can understand what my body's trying to tell me, because it's something big has just come up and I obviously need to process this.
Okay, just for everybody listening and watching, Jay is not saying go to the store and throw a fit and you're a grown-ass adult because you're mad and angry. That's not what Jay is saying. There's a place for everything. I do like the little compartmentalized idea right there. It's like, okay, when I get home, I'm going to go like...
Well, you have to then go do it when you get home.
You have to do it though, yeah.
Yeah.
You keep putting it off to the side.
Yeah, but, you know, releasing that energy, because... if energy transforms to other things, if you don't get it out. So, yeah.
Okay, but here, let me ask this then. We're talking about, okay, you have to go process it later. I'll share my experience in this recent conversation, right? We're having this conversation and, you know, the gentleman I'm talking to is like a real, like, traditional corporate, goes to all the BNI networking meetings, you know, like that traditional type of guy. And actually, honestly, reminds me of past bosses I've had in some ways. And we're in a partnership, and I get to this point where I start like welling up and I'm like, oh God, please no. But then I'm like, wait, but I've learned to let this out. So I'm like, excuse me, we're on Zoom. And I'm like, I need a second. So I kind of like go off the computer, and I was like, what do I do? Okay, I'm off. I took a couple breaths and came back on. I'm like, I'm okay. But then I honestly never went back to it, because I'm like, life went on, I was like, okay, I'm back to my happy self, you know. But I know that what from what you said, that that was something probably built up from childhood or whatever that came up in that moment. So then how do you, like, is that then where you go, okay, I gotta, you know, I need to call a therapist and then process this, or, you know, can you do it by yourself? It probably depends on where you're at in your journey. And, you know,
yeah, it definitely depends on how safe you feel with yourself. And safe. It's like literally in that example, if you had to start crying and you're about to get on board with a new business person, and meantime you're crying because the last time you felt that same feeling was when your dad was towering over you and you were a kid and you got into trouble, and it just triggered that. And these, you know, it wouldn't look good. Your business partner won't get that and be like, I don't know if I want to sign up with somebody, you know, that's maybe a little, I'm all for authentic, but.
Right.
We're not going to. So yeah. Totally, definitely, like, take your time out. Like, I'm supposed to feel these feelings. I think most of us are still scared of our feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. You know, like, really curious. Wow, what was that? What do you want to tell me? Huh. Changes it very much from, like, shit, I'm failing. You know, I've got mm-hmm. these feelings that I'm not supposed to have in this scenario.
Right.
Yeah, so true. I can 1,000% relate to that, because I definitely have identified as the happy person. I'm happy, you know, and not knew how to deal with emotions, because I saw my mom who never cried, because she saw her mom who did cry and then made the crying like a thing. So she had decided, I'm never going to cry. And then, like, she never cried. And then, like, you know, it just got passed down. But I'm so emotional that I've always wondered, like, what's wrong with me? Why am I crying in these, like, business situations? Why am I getting so emotional? But I have historically just put it down. You know, I went through a divorce, and I was a salesperson. So I had to put on my face every day to go talk to people. And I would literally, like, I was living in Florida and driving across these bridges on the water, and I just cried, like, and then I'd be like, okay, I'm good. Wipe off my face and go in there and be like, hi, I'm Jenny. What's up? So I feel like too, based on my experience, some of it's just learned behavior from a protection standpoint. Like, we learn how to show up in a way that the world accepts us, or so we think that the world yep. can accept us.
It's a very big part that school plays as well, because we're, you know, when we're born, we're completely dependent on our parents, and they're like everything. Even if they're shitty, they're everything to us. And it's just like, idolize them. And then we go to school, and we're school age, and we start mingling with peers. And a lot of times, like, if we were still growing up in villages and tribes, you know, if you got kicked out, you'd literally be dead, because you can't survive in the forest without being accepted by the community. And school is that community. That's like the initiation into, would we be accepted? And so we adapt to these standards of, this is right, this is wrong. And it's a very topic I get super passionate about, because we start measuring ourselves according to school standards at an age where we're very impressionable. Right. So, you know, for me, measuring yourself, like, with school is like measuring the temperature with a ruler. A ruler can measure something, but it's not the temperature. And you go to school and you're either good at this or you're not. You know, you're either a good student or you're not. And many people that I see have this label of, I'm not very clever, or I'm not very good at things, or I'm not very accepted, you know. Massive panic attacks, and then we work through a childhood bullying incident, gone. You know, like, it's crazy how big an impact our formative years, as said, formative, have on our ability to feel safe with our emotions.
I really love everything that we've talked about, and I know we're getting, like, close to the time frame here, and so
I'm scared.
He's like, can I go up, like, a 3 hour,
can we,
like,
reach out, can we connect?
I'd love to.
These conversations, and I'm looking for a community of peers where I can have these conversations that are beyond the education that I've learned. And it's like, but there's so much more out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel healers, coaches, therapists, we all play in the same realm. You know, it's different ways we go about it, but there's, like, so much we can learn from each other.
For sure. Really, it's a privilege.
What is one thing that you feel like we haven't covered that you feel like would be really pertinent to add to this conversation as we're closing up?
I wouldn't say there's something we haven't covered, but there's a story that I love to share, and that I'll tell probably anybody and everybody that would listen. But like the story of the ugly duckling is one of my favorite stories because we all know the story of the ugly duckling. And I imagine myself as that duck that grew up and it looked different. It looked different to his siblings. The farm animals teased it. You know, it just could constantly get this reinforcement of you're an ugly duck. And I could just imagine as it grows up, you know, tries to make its legs a bit shorter when he sees his legs are getting longer than his brothers and sisters. And he tries to pull his wings in a bit more. He tries to pull his neck in a bit more, trying to fit in, trying to fit that mold of this is what I'm supposed to do. And every time he'd do that, he'd fall over and probably land on his brother and get cut by his dad. Or, you know, like there would be these issues because he was trying to fit in, which reinforced how messed up he is, how lost he is, what an ugly duckling he is. And that moment when it was on the lake and it saw its reflection, it didn't need schooling to become a swan. And for me, that's what I base my work on. It's about holding up the right mirror. So using these tools to tap into your body so that you can see yourself, not from what you got taught growing up, because those are those distorted mirrors and you can see anything that fits that mirror because that's what you got taught to see yourself through. But when you hold up the right lens, the right mirror, the right reflection, that authentic self doesn't need permission, doesn't need lessons, doesn't need to play small. It's this full glory of who we are and every single person has it. I did a post on Facebook, I think yesterday or the day before, where as I spoke about how when I drove, I used to feel so sad for the poverty. I mean, we live in South Africa. There is so much dire poverty. And it didn't matter how much I worked and how much community work I did, there would just be more poverty. And I'd cry. I'd come home and cry every single day. And the one day it hit me that I'm looking at their circumstances and not their potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that shift. Like I light up when I talk to people and I get goosebumps and I feel it because it's not just for some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that's, yeah. Anything
that's powerful.
That was a mic drop.
Yeah, it was. It was like, boom. Oh, man. Okay, so where can people find you? And since you have a full practice, like what types of clients are you looking for and or accepting into your practice right now?
I'm currently full till next year, February, but I work with couples, parents mostly in marital distress. I really find that I was actually a play therapist. And when I work with the kids and I help the parents, I notice the kids that need to come back. So I moved over to parents, but I also love helping, you know, individuals getting to know themselves. Like the reason feeling small feels so shit is because it wasn't meant for you. So for people to like let it go and figure out who they are, and people that don't mind swearing, you know, they because I do.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the people that are passionate about seeing themselves for who they are. So even my couples work, we'd spend a lot of time doing individual work with both of them, mm-hmm. where I take them through their own inner journey from their childhood to their own body awareness, so that when we're learning to communicate, we're not communicating from here, but here as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that couples who like aren't in type some type of stress in their relationship still come to you? Or do you find that it works better if they already have some kind of stress? Or
I think the younger people are coming preemptively, but it's still few and far between. The Gottman still did a study and they said the average couple takes 6 years of distress before they reach out. And most of my couples, it's years of resentment before they reach out. It's that thing of, I should know how to do this. I should know, like, you know, I'm just going to read the next book or I'm going to read this, because we think it's communication issues, but we don't realize the trauma underneath our communication issues. And so we put it off and put it off and put it off until, you know, we separate because we've had to build that wall so thick to protect ourselves, or we have really hard work of breaking down those walls between each other. That's my part of my individual work, is because the safer you feel with yourselves, the easier it's going to be to connect again. If you're feeling vulnerable here and there, it's going to be really hard to share vulnerably in the session and get deep.
That's so powerful. And I can't imagine living with that resentment for years, because we like just barely like took a couple steps into like starting to build up some of those things. And we were like, okay, therapy, let's talk. You know, we immediately jumped into it and it definitely helped. And I could see too, where even, you know, Yeah, I think we're good right now, but like I could see we're like, you know, going through this even as a, you know, supposed healthy couple. Like I could see where it could still only help make us even stronger individually and together, which at least for us and the people that we want to attract into our business and who listen to this podcast, like that's, it's like people who are just on this journey of self-growth and self-discovery, you know, who continue on it to like get better and learn more about themselves so that they can feel free. Because we've talked about this too. It's like the freedom of the mind, you know,
exactly.
It's really, I feel like what a lot of this is, what you've talked about is helping get to freedom of the mind. Cause when you have freedom of the mind, you're more confident and you can step into these decisions more powerfully. Like you said, have emotional intelligence and learn the tools. So it's like, go process the trauma, go do the thing. And I mean, you also have retreats. You have retreats in Africa, in South Africa. So tell a little bit about that.
Well, I grew up in the bush. I knew how to track lions before I could read or write. So I like really love the bush. And it hit me the other day, my dad and my mom and dad live on a farm surrounded by giraffe and zebra and all nature. And it replenishes me every time I go there. And while there, the last time I realized, like, I love working with couples. Couples fly in to see me for week-long intensives in a hotel. Why not do it in a hotel in the bush? So there was the idea of safari retreats worn for couples. So nice. Still, putting it all into action, but I'm very, very excited.
Awesome. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you or follow you? Where should they go?
My website is The Couples Connection. So it's www.thecouplesconnection.com. And on Facebook, it's Tahila Nicole. And on Instagram, Tahila Nicole Tahila. The easiest way to remember it is Tahila with an H. So Tahila Nicole on Instagram or Facebook. And then,
I'll see it. I like it. I have a new friend. Jenny makes the new friends. I got a new friend.
That's so awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and everything with us.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a joy. It's been such a lovely conversation.
We totally agree. All right, guys, see you on the next episode.
You can subscribe to the Holistic Life Podcast from your favorite streaming platform. And don't forget to check out 2jholla.com to stay in the know as an official 2JH insider. Mahalo for tuning in. And until next time, that's our show.